Wayne Sussman, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Still trying to get over that pig metaphor I just heard.
I know.
I'm great. Thank you.
I know. I was just like, okay, cool. Thanks, Pops. All right. Elections analyst at Daily Maverick, lest I forget to just make sure people know exactly who you are. Always a pleasure to understand some of your insights. We're heading into LGE next week. Candidate lists have now closed. We've only been able to interview a handful, maybe five candidates who put up their hand to say, I'm definitely running for mayor. But otherwise, most parties have been rather mum. What is your sense across the country of representation and who made it to the deadline?
Yeah, we're going to see that in the coming days. My understanding from Fikile Mbalula, reading what he's been writing, is that the ANC will be submitting much more complete lists than they did the last time. So that will obviously be good for them to have candidates on all the PR lists and for most of the wards across South Africa. That's critical. We know in the first round of registrations, candidate submissions, the DA and the EFF were the only parties to submit complete lists. So that's going to be interesting. The next part is, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will know Dennis Bloom, so I always call this the Dennis Bloom example, the Dennis Bloom from COPE. What happened in, I think it was 2009, Dennis Bloom's name appeared on both the ANC list and COPE's list. So the IEC in that instance goes back to the candidate, in this instance it was Dennis Bloom, and says, Mr. Bloom, are you going to commit to the ANC or are you going to commit to COPE? And he committed to COPE. So that's the next phase of this process. The IEC are going to go through all the lists, the City of Cape Town lists, all the municipal candidate list for the rest of the Western Cape and see if there are any names which appear on multiple party lists. They're going to then have to make a decision. And next week, on the 29th of September, is a very key day. That is the list gets made public. And we'll be able to see who are the mayoral candidates or top of the list. We'll be able to see who's defected, who's not coming back, who's too low, who's participating in this election. So that's a very big day next week.
All right. And okay, so you've given us a picture around ANC being very present across lists. However, my biggest sense around this election, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Wayne, is that it's one of the first since 1994 that presents options for change. It just feels as though the apple cart has been upset enough times that one can really hold on to hope for some shift. We've seen them lose major, the ANC lose major metros, Ekurhuleni, Gauteng, Nelson Mandela Bay. We've seen the DA do the same, lose major metros, Ekurhuleni, Gauteng, and Nelson Mandela Bay. And the Cape Metro is not guaranteed either. It's open season on this particular seat. Dan Plato is the incumbent, cannot run, and so we've got fresh blood in the system. So change seems to be the constant in this particular election. Is that a reason to become optimistic, or do you think that voter apathy will douse my excitement?
Well, the trend with local government elections is upward. It's a different trend to national and provincial elections, which have sadly been downward. We'll see whether that trend will continue with this elections. Just the City of Cape Town was the safest metro in South Africa after 2016. It'll be, I think that Buffalo City in East London will city because there is a lot of political competition in the City of Cape Town this time around. But I think if one had to look at the crystal ball with metros across South Africa, you're going to see a lot of competition. In the metros and certainly in municipalities across South Africa. And that's why these candidates are going to be so important. We've just seen in the last few days in places like Oudtshoorn, in places like Laingsburg, in places like Bito, which is Plettenberg Bay, there's been a lot of political uncertainty in those councils because of the behavior of certain kingmakers, shifting allegiances, shifting sides. So it is silly season. It's political silly season, and it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds in the next few days.
Coalition hasn't worked out well for us in terms of ultimate service delivery. To what extent does that silly season translate into more coalition across all of these wards?
So I think that in many municipalities across the Western Cape, there is going to be a greater chance for coalitions. And the question is, and I'm going to give a spoiler, well, not a spoiler alert, a shout out to Get the DM 168 this weekend.
Okay,
we're looking at the role of all kingmakers in the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. The jury's out. In many instances, these kingmakers, these smaller parties, have held the bigger parties to ransom and not really governed for the betterment of services, etc. And that's the challenge. And you could say that the people voters' experience of coalitions is going to be a negative one. There are some positive examples of coalitions, of successful, stable coalitions in the Western Cape. But generally, the experience of residents, I would say, is dim, where people are thinking about their egos first and residents and voters second.
I'm very excited for this. All right. I think that we call that a shameless plug, Wayne. Get the Maverick 168 this weekend, or rather the DM 168. I love it. I like the content that you actually have with respect to discussing the kingmakers in the Western Cape. We need to be more educated, I think, in this election than ever before, mostly because the answers are not so obvious. And so this is going to be very interesting, and I'm grateful that the Daily Maverick is doing this analysis. I really appreciate your insight, Wayne. Have a good one.